Psalm 113, we're getting sort of towards the end here, obviously, of the study of this book. I'm excited about the future ones as well, but Psalm 113 has convicted and stirred my heart for a couple weeks now. And by the way, you'll notice in your Bibles that this psalm and the one before it and the one before that, Psalm 111, Psalm 112, Psalm 113, all of those, these begin with the words, "Praise ye the Lord," right? Which, as you all know, is one word in the Hebrew, hallelujah. Hallel means praise, and of course, luya, J-A-H, the name for God, hallelujah. And it's really a succession of praises. These psalms have a sort of continuous progression, so that first line, hallelujah, in each one of them, is sort of like striking the same note before three movements in a symphony. The same call, but leading, like we said, in progression to deeper levels of understanding and truth that sort of culminate, a crescendo, if you will, in Psalm 113. Let's read it and then we'll pray. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun, the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth? He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth up the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even the princes of his people. He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. And it closes with hallelujah, or praise ye the Lord. Father, please help us tonight to hear what the Spirit of God would have to say, would say to all of us. May our hearts be open and may distractions be cast out. Thank you for your word. And thank you, Father, for your presence through the Holy Spirit and your Son, Christ. We love you tonight. Help us to love you even more than when we came to this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 113, I want you to notice one of the more familiar references in the Word of God. And we're going to look at the whole psalm, but we'll begin with verse 3 where it says this, "From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised." Now, this rising of the sun until the going down of that same sun is in reference, of course, to a period of time. And specifically and obviously, it's a day, right? The evening and the morning, it says in Genesis, were the first day. And so by extension, the same event often refers to a life. We talk about the sunset years of life, and beyond, there's a song, "Beyond the Sunset," and so on. And then it is also a reminder of an entire year at times. Rosh Hashanah, for example, 1 month ago, about 1 month today even, that began with sunset. And the words literally mean Rosh Hashanah, the head of the year. This reference of a sunrise and a sunset is a reminder again of a period of time. However, it's also a reference, as our text shows, to something else, something wonderful and something critical, something very powerful in anybody's life, but especially a Christian's life, after all. What the psalm says is that from the rising of the sun to the setting down of that sun, the same, what? That's a day. So what? From the rising of the sun to the setting down, you put an X on the calendar? You count your calories? You count your steps for that day? You change your status on Facebook? From the rising of the sun until it sets, the wages and the taxes and the index and the interest is all calculated. That would be in the Fed's idea. The money's counted. I guess every institution, every financial institution from Guam to Wall Street has an opening bell and a closing bell. And it's the beginning and the ending of that day, financially speaking, and that's what was and is preeminent to them. But in this case, the text says from the rising of the sun unto the setting down of the same sun, what's it say? Look at it. The Lord's name is to be praised. Now that's spiritual. That's not physical counting your steps. That's not financial. That's spiritual. And it's a reminder and an indication that for the Christian, there's always something deeper. There is always something far more significant in the course of a day and a year and a lifetime than just numbers on a calendar or some ledger. And most especially, there is always, always, from the rising of the sun to the setting of the sun, something to be thankful for, to praise God for. Because the command is, you can do it from the beginning of the ending of every day. So there must be something every single day that you can hallel, hallelujah, praise God for. In 1990, when we built a little house in North Palm Beach Heights, beautiful place, we loved it, lived there for 16 years, the boys were basically raised there. In those days, the Heights was adjacent to Mecca Farms. Mecca Farms was owned by MacArthur Foundation, the land was, but it was a strawberry field and you could pick your own strawberries. And the boys did a couple times and it was kind of nice, we were out there. But then, as you probably know, about 9 or 10 years after we built that house and lived there on Harriet and Michael, that farm was sold and became the Abacoa, actually I think it might even be leased, Abacoa Development. In 1999, they constructed the Abacoa Golf Club, a public course, which many of you in this room have seen. Many of you have even, some of you have played, including me, for the past 25 years or so, off and on. And I can tell you that since the very first time, the first year, at least that I played there, 25 years later, there's something that I've always noticed. I've always noticed, if I ever make it to the back nine, at least, and it's number 13 is a par three. Number 13 is a par three over water. If you hit it from the tips, from the back tees, it's about 235 yards, I guess, over water carry. And in this water, there's a fountain. In fact, there's a couple, but there's one in particular right next to the tee box. And it's just a typical aeration fountain. It's decorative and it sounds good, but it's for aerification and so forth. So when you're driving from the tee box in your golf cart, before you get over the bridge, the cart path goes like this. It just takes a huge, huge dip and it comes up pretty quick. And for 20 plus years, every time I would take that drop, I would hear something and it would make me think of verse 3. Look at it again. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. Now here's why. Before you go into the dip of that car path, that fountain to your left, you can hear it. It's loud. It's kind of pretty. And you can see it. But as you're driving your cart and you go down into this thing, it's kind of strange and it's obvious to me. As soon as you get down in there, you don't hear it at all. It's sort of like, you know, when you're driving in a rainstorm and you go in an overpass under a bridge, it just stops. And that sudden quiet, that's how it is on that path. It just stops for that moment. For the fountain, when you go down and you're in that little valley, even though you can't hear it, this is always my thought. You can't hear it, can't really see it, definitely can't hear it. It's still there. It's still making the same noise. It's still being a fountain of water and so forth. It's still loud and it's pretty and it's real. It's just that I can't hear it. I can't hear it from where I'm at the moment. Barry can hear it from the ladies' tees, always, because that's where he hits from. Poor Barry. But it's a reminder to me that the blessings and the glories that all of us enjoy every single rising of the sun and the setting of the sun of the same, that the wonderful things that come to us from the hand of God are really always there. People come to me for counseling a lot, and when they're in the dumps and they're in the valley and they're down and they act as though, that's one reason they're in counseling, Life is miserable. It's the same glorious, wonderful, blessed life. And the goodnesses of God are being poured in and around them all the time. But it's just because at the moment they can't see them or hear them. Sunrises and sunsets are a testimony. And they are often so beautiful. Just as when I was driving to church tonight. How many of you saw the sunset tonight? It was pretty, right? How many of you took a picture of it? A bunch of you. I did. I don't know why. I don't know what to do with it. I've got thousands and thousands of them. Ben's like, keep your eyes on the road, Dad. I'm going. So in the darkness in between sunrises and sunsets, the blessings of God are always there. The challenge always for us in our flesh is, as the psalm says, believing to see it. You believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Look at verse 4. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high? Now, folks, I want you to think about this for just a moment. How many sunrises and how many sunsets have you seen physically? In the material sense, how many sunrises and sunsets have you seen the past week, the past month, the past year, the past decade? As I mentioned, I've got scores of them, pictures of them on my phone. How have you truly looked at or paid any attention to those sunrises and those sunsets throughout your entire life? Some of them are just regular old sunrises, sunsets. If you're in Knoxville, Tennessee, I can testify this from December till about March, they're ho-hum. They're not beautiful. They're in gray skies. But there's one specific human tendency that we have that goes to this that I want us to consider for a moment. Anything in life that happens a lot, put it this way, anything in life that is custom, now this happens every day, twice a day, a sunrise and a sunset. But anything in life that is customary to us will soon become commonplace to us. Anything that is oft repeated, now we're talking about the blessings of God, right? Anything that is oft repeated is eventually often ignored. And in Romans chapter 1, it's the beginning of degradation for people, for society, and for your heart and mind. For example, let's suppose that tonight that a sunset or a sunrise only occurred once every 100 years. Just imagine this for a moment. So the sunset that you saw tonight, suppose that that sunset was the only one you would see in your entire lifetime. But you knew when it was going to happen. Once, sort of like a comet or something. Now, if you think about it for a moment, if it's not commonplace, if it's only going to happen once every 100 years, that means you have to be lucky enough to be alive when it happens. Now, for the first 5,000 years of human history, nobody would have seen, been able to see it in a video, right? Or a picture. You had to have it passed down if you were lucky enough to see it, because there were no videos up to 200 years ago. So when the date for one of these 100-year events, let's say you know when it's going to happen. In 1842, there's going to be a sunrise. And it's probably going to be beautiful. Well, when that date is drawing nigh, you know what's going to happen. I mean, imagine the worldwide excitement and the commotion that the world would draw about this. You would get out your calendar if they told you it was in your lifetime, and you get one beautiful sunrise maybe in your lifetime, or sunset maybe in your lifetime. I remember 1986. The year before I came here, all of the hype about Halley's Comet, tomato, tomato. And I mean, it was hype. It was so much hype. You're going to get to see it in your lifetime, because it only happened once every 75 years. But this was my very first opportunity to see it. And it was Barry's third. Amen? Hey, Barry. The next opportunity is in 2061. Now, I saw it. How many of you saw Halley's Comet? 1986, really? You're old. Oh, yeah, I was in Tennessee. I saw it. But let me just tell you, for those of you young enough, it's 35 years from now is the next one. My advice is don't buy the hype. Don't go out and purchase a $1,500 telescope. Don't go to some mountain travel like people did. Travel to a mountain in Colorado. Stay up till 3 in the morning in the freezing cold so you can say, wow, I saw Haley's comet, because this once-in-a-lifetime miracle, if you get bowled over by a little tiny dot in the sky, then do it. But you can see hundreds and hundreds of those every night. Every night. On a clear night, and even more if you go out west. And again, the reason is that which is customary becomes commonplace. And again, beloved, this applies to the unparalleled beauty of a sunset. You can see him so often. We lived at the very foothills of the Smoky Mountains for 4 years. And the first year, man, we went to the Smokies all the time. It's odd. Ooh, and oh, and look. And we drove on 411 to our van route and right at the foothills, and you could see them. It was Pigeon Forge. It was wow. And the second year, maybe went once, Cades Cove, third, fourth year. How many have been to the beach lately? Beautiful, glorious. I mean, not you surfers at all. I know you go. You live there. My point is this. That which is customary because of our human nature becomes commonplace. And so it is, again, with the unparalleled beauty of a sunrise or a sunset. If it was once every 100 years, it would be a big deal. And it would be worth setting your calendar and getting up early and going out there or staying up in the evening to watch such a thing. We would tell our grandkids about it. We would say, boy, in 1980, whatever, I saw a sunset. You did? Yes, an actual sunset. And we wouldn't have to say it was a little tiny dot in the sky that appeared for a moment. We describe it in detail. Our children, our grandchildren would stand on tiptoe of expectation that maybe their opportunity would come. It would be a spectacle. Think of that. Heralded around the earth just because it's not common. People would make a lifelong anticipation because you know it wouldn't disappoint a single person if it was a beautiful sunrise or a beautiful sunset. The problem with human nature is that you and I, in our flesh, we oftentimes see the beauty of God's handiwork right in front of us. The beauty is there every single day. The glory of God is demonstrated every single morning and every single night. The marvel, the wonder of His majesty has been there all along. But our carnal eyes just get used to it. And I'll say it again. The same dynamic happens with every good and every perfect gift that comes from above. A newborn baby. A sinner gets saved. The very idea that somebody could get baptized here in the church and people are looking at their fingernails and yawning or make a profession of faith. A prayer is answered. The idea that a Bible is open. There are people in the world right now that if you handed them a Bible and they opened it, they would be in awe. They would touch it. They would smell it. They would clutch it close to them. Now, I'm not talking about 500 years ago, right now. People in the world who would cherish holding what you're holding in your hand right now. A meal is served, a truth is preached. A full moon, a starlit night, as we said. A beautiful, placid sea. A little child's prayer, a wedding vow. Every sunset, every sunrise is a reminder that this past year so far, 2015, has had a baseline of 365 glorious, beautiful works of God. In fact, double it. Multiply it times two. You can add scores and hundreds and thousands in however long you've been alive now of reminders of the beauty of the Lord, so that what happens in 2015 is going to happen again in 2016, because God is always the same. And this sunrise, sunset's a reminder of God's beauty, His glory, His power, His wonder, the glory. That's what creation's for. To declare the glory of God to us, His people. God's an artist. And God is an artist who is fond of beautiful colors and a variety that no man can conceive. And it's a reminder of his bounty, His beauty and His bounty. Look at verse 3, would you? From the rising of the sun and the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. Verse 7. He raises up the poor out of the dust. He lifts up the needy out of the dunghill, that He may set him with princes, even with the princes of His people. He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise the Lord. He's just talking about blessings. Now, all right, let's think about a sunset for a moment. Or a sunrise. And think about what God intends for it to teach us as far as His faithfulness is concerned. We use the expression, the sun always rises. Well, the sun will come up tomorrow. The sun will come out tomorrow, and so on. The sunrise, after a long, dark night, was designed by God and intended by God as a testimony. It is God's parable, if you will, that God is faithful. The sun will always come up in the morning. And as His faithfulness in this text shows, it's a reminder that He always, therefore, provides for His own. That's why verse 3 says, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The psalm starts with, praise ye the Lord. That's what we're supposed to do. We say, Pastor, praised for what? For His goodness. For His goodness that day. If you haven't praised God for His goodness today, something, why are we here? God gave you a mouth and ears. God's good to you. I was telling someone today that, you know, the people that receive remind me so often of the parable in Matthew of the laborers. Like, well, is that all? He got more. Psalm 65, which you're going to see on the screen for a moment, is one of my favorite texts in all the Bible. I've preached on it Thanksgiving Day, especially as it describes the goodness of God in a sunrise. Look on your screen, Psalm 65 and verse 8. They also that dwell in the uttermost parts are afraid at thy tokens. Thou makest the outgoings of the morning and evening to rejoice. The tokens, you know, the pagans look at the sunrise and the sunset. The pagans look at the sun as a token, as something to be worshipped. But we look at it as a reminder of the goodness of God. Because the last word in verse 8 is what? Rejoice. Sunrises and sunsets, folks, are so powerful that if we did see it for what it really is, we would shout for joy, it says. But that's not all. Look on your screen at verse 9 of the same chapter. Thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn when thou hast so provided for it. Thou waterest the ridges thereof abundantly. Thou settlest the furrows thereof. Thou makest it soft with showers. Thou blessest the springing thereof. God does this. And then in what was our theme verse way back in the year 2000, verse 11 on the screen, it says, thou crownest the year with thy goodness. Think about that phrase. Thou, God, crowns the year. Now we're talking about sunrise, sunset, and a bunch of them, a beginning and ending of a year. You crown the year. It is, think of it this way. Every morning and every evening is a sunrise and a sunset, and it's a jewel of God in a year. And with those 730 jewels, 50 jewels, He makes an annual crown. And then with that crown, think of this, He crowns the year with His goodness. Now look, folks, I mentioned a moment ago the sad reality of human nature. How we tend to not appreciate the regular blessings, the daily blessings. the common blessings of God. Our carnal flesh rarely values what we receive every single day. We don't value the blessings that come all the time. We don't value the blessings that don't cost anything. All right, so now let's go back to our text and the sunrise and the sunset that are beautiful and testimonial. If they came once every 75 years, and if you could only see it by paying admission, think about that. You got to buy a ticket that one time in 75 years. Do you realize what would happen? Again, just think of what would happen and this enormous industry that would be around it. Somebody would sell seats for oceanside viewing for the sunrise. There would be premium, I mean, just this is a big hypothetical, but there would be premium mountain view seating for the rich and the powerful. Skyboxes to see the sunrise and the sunset once in your lifetime. Some kind of tailgating. Folks would start savings accounts for their newborns called the Sunrise Fund. They would sell sunset bonds so that you could somehow, or your child could afford, when their child came of age, they'd have a ticket for the show of a lifetime. And when that show came, beholding it for their one and only time, they would bask in every fleeting second, because it's only seconds, of that sunrise and that sunset. Whatever the ticket costs, it wouldn't compare to the singular enjoyment of this blessing, right? Well, I got good news. Tomorrow morning, it's free. It's free. You don't have to buy a ticket. You don't have to stand in line. You don't have to wait 80 years. Tomorrow morning, it's free, and tomorrow night, it's free again. It's not buy one, get one free. It's just get two free every day because of God's power and God's goodness. And it's really just a picture of hundreds and hundreds, thousands of blessings God bestows upon us day after day after day after day and night after night. Psalm 127 says, "The Lord giveth his beloved sleep." Sleep? Who's going to praise God for sleep? What's so great about sleep? Well, we'll lose 3 or 4 days of it. And you will praise God and give him glory for sleep. Same thing is true for our vision, being able to see, our eyesight, our job. Say, job, I'm going to praise God for my job. Be without one for a while. Have no income. Start losing things and going in debt. Our ability just to walk. I watched my mom today, and just she was happy just to be able to get up and take a few steps. Thrilled, actually. The freedom we have to worship. What they're doing in China right now, shutting down churches, throwing people in jail. Your hearing, your tasting, the ability to feel. I remember years ago, on this one New Year's Day, some of you old-timers might remember this story. I stopped at a gas station on North Lake Boulevard because I filled up my gas, and I went inside to get a little pack of, you know, the individual packs of aspirin pain reliever because I had a headache. It was coming on. I knew it was going to be a bad one. And it so happened that the guy, the attendant in the gas station behind the counter, was from another country and spoke broken English, and apparently he didn't believe in, from his country, he didn't believe in modern medicine, so he says to me, he says, "You want aspirin for what?" That was unusual. I never had anybody say, "Well, why? What do you want it for?" I'm like, "What do you want to know?" So I told him I had a headache. He said, "Well, let me help you." In his accent, he walked around. How many remember this? It's a couple of you, yeah. He walked around, and he stood in front of me. He said, "Put your hands out." I put my hands out. And he took a pen that he had in his hand, and he did something really unusual. He started taking that pen and rubbing it across my thumb like this. And I don't mean just rubbing it. I mean he was crushing the veins and the muscles and the corpuscles and the whatever you want to call it, just I could almost hear them. And it hurt so much there were tears in my eyes. I'm like, ah, ah. And before I could say undocumented, he had my other thumb. And he was doing the same thing, smashing and crushing it. Good, healthy cells. And he was assuring me, he kept saying, your headache will be gone. He said, I'm causing your pain. I'm concentrating your pain from here to here. And a few minutes later, I'm driving down 95 like this. Because excruciating headache as well, and no aspirins. New Year's Day. And the reason I remember it is because the very next day, I remember waking up and praising God that my thumbs didn't hurt. I was like, wow, my thumbs are fine. Now, when was the last time you praised God that your thumbs don't hurt? Because I've got a pen, and I know how to use it. But I was grateful for something that I have every day. Throughout this study in Psalms, and anybody else who's ever studied Psalm, and especially the Psalms of David, you've known, you've read, you're aware of the fact that David writes about his pain. He writes about his sorrows and temptations and trials, his disappointments, his doubts, because they are part and parcel of everybody's life. David does not in these Psalms present a gilded, rosy sort of trouble-free view of life or of serving God. And that's good because there's no such thing. Life is full of sorrows and trials, troubles and temptations. As Job said, man is of few days and full of trouble. Life has its own share of sorrows. But for every one of us believers, there is this truth, this greater and more glorious truth that's always presented with it, that whatever else life does bring you, God crowns the year with his goodness. He doesn't crown it with our trials. He crowns it with his blessings. In other words, folks, it is true and it will always be true that every year on this earth, every day on this earth will include a measure, its own amount of tears, but in addition to the tears, greater than the tears because it's a crown. God places his goodness. Thou crownest the year. See, bear in mind that a crown is the highest, right? The crown is placed at the highest, most visible. It speaks of beauty and royalty and splendor. So when David says that that's what he does at the end of a day and a year, he crowns it with his goodness, he's saying that above and beyond whatever else you have, whatever else trials or troubles, his bounty, his blessings will always outweigh, outnumber, and outlast our burdens. God gives two jewels every single day with the sunrise and the sunset. And every year, then he crowns it with this crown with all of those jewels. The great preacher Charles Jefferson wrote this in 1885. When we begin to stagger under life's routine and monotony, God sets the western sky on fire to make the soul cheerful again. He must have just seen a beautiful sunset and given glory to God. We noted earlier that truth in James 1:17, every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights. That's a spiritual reality as well as a physical one. Every good and every perfect gift comes from above. The rain that falls down gives life to the earth, as we read a moment ago, speaks to every nation and tribe of God's goodness. It is why Jesus took the little lad's lunch, and the Bible tells us that when he took the lunch before me, that little teeny tiny lunch, the Bible says that Jesus looked up. What did he do? You know, there are folks in here who don't even pray over your meal and give God thanks. I'm not saying you have to make a show. Don't make a show. But look at it and just Thank the Lord for it. The Bible says that Jesus looked up and he blessed it. Why? Why did he look up? Why did he look up and give thanks to God in front of the disciples? Because as the psalmist said, it is God who visits the earth and waters the earth. And it is God who greatly enriches the earth. Jesus recognized what we ought to recognize every single day, between every sunrise and sunset, that every stitch of clothing, every bite of food, every drink of water, every breath of air is worthy of our gratitude. Do you know that when the disciples in John chapter 6, when they referred back to the place where Jesus fed the multitude, so they're referring back in John 6 to the place where this amazing miracle occurred. Do you know what they called the place? They called it the place where the Lord gave thanks. How significant is that? The place, they remembered it as the place, not where all this food, this miracle, and this amazing. Now, this was the place where Jesus looked up and was grateful. The psalmist said, the pastures are clothed with flocks. Why are there flocks of sheep? He goes on to say this. Proverbs 27, the lambs are for thy clothing and the wheat is for thy food. In other words, look, wool, grain, cotton, fruit, whatever it is that provides our food, our clothing, it's your benefit. It's a gift of God. And whatever trials and troubles come our way, this past sunrise and sunset, this past year, nobody in this room starved to death. I'm looking at you. Nobody lacked calories. Nobody went without food or clothing, and that's because God is good. And he's good all the time. Verse 2, and we'll close. Psalm 113. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Wait a minute, forevermore? Forevermore? See, this is the glory. Not just a sunrise and a sunset, which is one day, and then the day is past. A few days from now, the sun will rise and the sun will set, and this year will be past, right? Just like that. For some, next year in 2026, if we get there without the Lord coming, the sun will rise, the sun will pass, and your life will be past. We preached recently on Psalm 102, my days are like a shadow that declineth. Shadows decline fast because the sun is setting really fast. And I say that, beloved, because with every setting sun, we ought to remember this. We ought to remember that and embrace and rejoice. And as the scripture says, gain wisdom that life is short. Embrace, Pastor, that my life is short. Look, folks, I'm 67. And I rejoice that life is short. For sure. Because if you're saved, verse 3 says, I get to praise the Lord forevermore. Not just for a day or 2 days or five. So the next time you're driving along and you're in your golf cart and you can't hear the fountain of blessing anymore, just remember, it's still there. It's still beautiful and it's still providing and it will be there forevermore. And God's people said, amen. Father, thank you for your word and for your goodness and for your blessings and for the truth of these psalms, Lord, that even in the midst of his crying out and his tears and his troubles and his tribulations, he continues to say, praise ye the Lord, praise ye the Lord. And may we do it from sunrise to sunset, because you're good from sunrise to sunset, even if you said in your word, even forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.